Berlin Syndrome, written by Melanie Joosten and read by Vivian Carter.
Chapter 1. Berlin is overrun by dogs. Every evening as she waits for Andy, Claire listens to their muffled barks drift over the walls and settle in the forgotten courtyard below. She taps out a tuneless beat on her bare thigh and waits for change, for movement. Somehow it is more difficult to imagine anything happening in the courtyard than it is to imagine the unseen dogs and their walkers nearby. Running her hands across her thighs, she reads the corrugated surfaces like braille. The inflammation has retreated, the cuts have become scabs, soon they will become scars. More lines will join these ones, her legs like furrowed fields waiting for the season to turn. The days are getting longer, or at least it is getting dark later. Running without pause into the next day, the days do not seem particularly long or short. She has turned both of the clocks to face the wall. Her watch battery is long dead. An overcast sky refuses to acknowledge that it might be spring, while the sun, defeated by clouds, is too diffused to track across the surfaces of the apartment. The plant must be growing. She looks at its leaves. Does it realize that time has slowed? Its foliage clings to its stem, hoping for the sunlight to return. The leaves leave in winter. The leaves are left. Left is not right. She is left here. It is not right. The words thump at her temples, demanding her attention. Refusing to be pummeled into sentences, they want to stand on their own. The longer she spends here by herself, not talking, the louder the words seem to jostle about, wanting to be acknowledged. Why does left mean two things? Why can it not be just one? Apple means apple. It does not mean up or down. She paces the apartment. Step, 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 turn. Faster and faster. She tries to walk in a straight line, careful not to lose her balance, careful not to lose her mind. In the living room, she whirls around, tries to catch the plant watching her. It must be. She is the only other living thing in the apartment. They are attracted to each other, she and the plant. Of that she is sure, but she is yet to garner proof. As she pulls on her jeans, she feels she is part of a performance. The apartment is like a stage set, ready for the same action to be played out night after night. Each item of furniture is steeped in importance, heavy with meaning and signifying something. She is determined to find out exactly what. She takes the clock from the bookshelf, turns it to face the room. Tick. Tick. That time is still passing is a relief. Step, 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 turn. She paces the apartment, stretching her legs as though the more distance she covers, the faster time will pass. Come home now. Come home. At last, the key in the lock, and she hurries to the hallway. Andy! Andy, you're home! Without saying hello, he dumps shopping bags at his feet, turns away from her, and shuts the door. His hair and shoulders are wet. She had not noticed that it was raining. He picks up the bags, and as he walks past her into the kitchen, she reaches out to touch his hair, conjuring up some of the absent weather for herself. Andy? What? He places the shopping bags on the bench and moves past her to hang his jacket on the back of the dining chair. You're home. She says it quietly, but her heart bats the statement about like a refrain. He is home. He is home.